welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
There we go. Okay, hello, welcome to episode 28. What episode are we on, Sean?
283
of the Self-Help Podcast.
It's your age, you can't get it.
And a slightly croaky and distant Sean Orford. You all right, Sean?
I'm a blues singer, that's what I am.
Do you want to apologise to our audience as to why the sound quality is a bit lower than usual today?
Is that possible?
It's worse than normal.
Well, yeah, no, I've had the plague, and so I haven't been doing anything in the hospital anyway. And I thought it was a bit unfair of me to come and share my journey with everybody, so I'm doing this long distance from the couch, sat in front of a nice fire.
Ah, bless. Well, yeah, no, we appreciate that in the office, and I'm sure our listeners can, bear with for. Well, the connection's pretty good, but the audio's we're recording via Skype here, so hopefully we're okay. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, is it not? And take a look for all the show notes and links. Sean's written a blog post to accompany this episode, which is about frugality or kind of a frugal life.
Yeah,
we'll explain why we're talking about that shortly. But take a look at the site and sign up to our email list for weekly alerts for the show and free meditation files as well, which, a lot of people find very handy, morning and evening relaxation files, which we're happy to dish out to you. How you been, Sean? How's tricks? Apart from the plague?
Apart from the plague, actually, having been not doing anything, as it were, for the last few days, has been amazing. I've really enjoyed it. Although I've been a bit crook, actually just being able to take it easy and not doing my usual kind of 12, 15-hour day kind of routines has been really, which has been amazing.
Have people been accepting of your condition and the fact they can't get hold of you and the world hasn't fallen apart?
In the main. I did have to attend to a couple of calls from the Middle East, people going into crisis. So I croaked down the phone on them. But apart from that, it's been pretty. In fact, I've done things like I've been reading this amazing book. It's called Living the Present.
And I remember that
reading
one.
It and thinking, wow, this is a good book. I really enjoyed
it. I should give a mention to that, 10% discount for all our subscribers as well.
Yeah, brilliant. That's good.
Good. All right, we're going to crack on with this week's episode.
So, hang on, what have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to? All go, actually. Yeah, busy with work and trying to set up a little, another little scheme I've had related to my cycling and urban design obsession. So, I'll be able to talk a bit more.
Is that with the council?
Hopefully, yeah. I've had some interesting discussions and I've been attending a few events. So, I'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead, actually, because I need to build an army of followers and people that want change. I'll talk.
Can I join?
Of course you can. Yeah. And you can be front and center. In fact, you can come on board as a director if you want. I should have said.
Hey,
it's about behavioural change. All this stuff. So.
Oh yeah. Sounds good.
I'll keep you posted. That's occupying a lot of my thoughts at the moment. But we're coming up to Christmas, aren't we, here in the UK? And we're going to talk about frugality. I think that is a word. I haven't just invented it.
It is, yeah. It is. No. Frugality. And you can be a frugalitarian as well.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
frugalitarianism referred initially to the way people eat, eating very cheaply.
Yeah.
But it also, frugalitarian involves the way that you just use energy really in life.
All right, I like that. It was Rhi actually that said we should think about doing an episode about this, and I think it prompted her. It was a little video I saw doing the rounds online. Martin Lewis, money saving expert, I think he's got a TV show, and he was kind of made this call to arms in preparation for Christmas for people just to slow down and stop and have a think about what they're spending money on in terms of gifts and presents. And whether they're whether they're buying through a sense of kind of, generosity, which is cool, or whether they're just kind of doing it for the sake of it, and you're heading into, as I probably will, into Smith's or your local toy shop and just piling a load of plastic into your air trolley. With your budget in mind for every single person you know in your life. Just throw in presents at people for the sake of it.
Yeah. I guess the issue is like how meaningful are the things that we're buying.
Yeah.
Because one thing that makes me laugh quite often is the amount of time people have bought me things, and what they've done is they've bought what they wanted, not what I wanted. do you know what I mean? People go in the shop, oh, that's nice, I like that. And then they buy it for you with the best of intentions. And it's actually something more for them than for you, as it were.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing a bit of that at Christmas, I'm sure, as I buy my little boys the latest game for them for our Nintendo. I really think you would like this copy of Super Smash Brothers, lads. Or Mario Tennis.
Daddy can help you play with that.
But yeah, I mean, how much, like a serious note, do you deal with stress and anxiety with people as a direct result of like financial stress and mismanagement?
Lots and lots and lots and lots. And that goes through from people that have run up 45 grand of gambling debt against the mortgage, through to people in places like Qatar who have effectively, their contract or their jobs come to an end for some reason, and they're left owing maybe thousands in loans and credit cards, and they're unable to leave the country because you cannot leave the Middle East owing money.
Really?
So you have to be financially clean before you go.
I've heard stories in Dubai, I think, about, you know, people making their fortunes there and hitting a bit of trouble and then, like, literally just, like, driving their Ferraris to the airport, leaving them there, getting on a plane and not returning, and not being able to return.
The issue in those countries is that you have, to get out to go on holiday, you have to have a visa. So that the visa works in and out, so that when I go over to Qatar for a week visit, I have to go through immigration on the way in and then go through immigration on the way. And they have to photograph you both times going in and out. But you're right, some people that have run up debts in the Middle East generally have just dumped what they've got and gone on holiday and never come back again. Just so that they avoid prison or whatever. But it means you can never go near the Middle East again.
It's important, I think, we need to separate being frugal with being cheap, because obviously there are negative connotations of being cheap or tight.
Being mean. Meanness.
So we're not advocating for that.
The concept of Scrooge in the Christmas Carol, you know, he isn't frugal, he's a mean person. And that's very, very different to being frugal. Because frugal could be careful, it could also be responsible, or from our point of view, it could also be being mindful. Because if you're mindful and you use the resources of the world consciously, then you create less pollution and less of a carbon footprint.
Yeah, less of an impact on the the planet.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the benefits then of being frugal. Because we have talked in the past about money being just a form of energy, really, in its essence.
Yeah.
So it's about, I don't know, being efficient with that energy, I guess, is it? And spending it wisely and mindfully?
Yeah. But also, if you think about the concept of energy, everything that we use in our society has come from sources of energy. So if we're using fuel in our car, but also we've got the heating. Remember what the statistics are. And Martin Lewis would tell you, you turn your thermostat down 1 or 2 degrees, the amount of money you save is phenomenal. But not only are you saving money, but you're putting less pollutants into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Put a jumper on and turn your thermostat down. Yeah.
we were chatting in the office yesterday. I had a statement through from my energy company. It kind of was an annual statement to say annual cost and how much units of energy, which don't mean a thing to me in terms of kilojoules or whatever. But, yeah, I think it predicted that our annual spend on energy, gas and electric, was £800.
Right, that's pretty good, I think.
Which is pretty cool, yeah, actually. And I run a pretty tight little operation. We've got, smallish three-bed end terrace, which is really efficient, in terms of windows and, insulation.
Yeah.
What's your annual spend, do you know?
No, it's higher than that though. We our house was built by the Cadbury Corporation for their managers in something like 1930, when they hadn't heard of cavity walls or insulation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we've done things to it to make it more efficient, like a massive amount of insulation in the roof and in the attic floors. But
does it work then?
That's and you could tell the difference than that. But it is still a house which, from a carbon footprint point of view, wouldn't be the most efficient on the planet. There are a lot more efficient ways of building houses now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of new housing going up on the world and more to go up all around the country. But yeah, you would hope that they're being built to certain standards. And I think they are, whether those standards go far enough so that people... Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how I can get rid of gas as a supply to the house completely, because we, you know, got a gas boiler. And I think you can get electric boilers to heat your water. And
yeah, get but your can you produce enough electricity?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's another question in itself. But I've got a green tariff electric thing, which apparently all the electricity that I use is kind of matched to from renewable sources. So I pay a little bit more for that.
Yeah.
But hey ho.
When I lived on the Isle of Wight, everybody used to do things like recycle water. The water that came off the roof would go into holding tanks that was then used to flush the loos and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was quite a movement towards saving energy. People would have little windmills going on their land, in the back gardens, whatever, that would be charging a bank of batteries that they would then use. Mm. Then maybe their lighting would be wrong or something like that.
Trying to think in terms of like how we can remove, not just on the financial side, but removing clutter from our lives can kind of give a person a bit of clarity. There's a documentary, I think I saw it on Netflix. Is it Minimalism or The Minimalist Guys or something? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that's quite a good one in terms of showing how they were striving for a really clean and simple life. So they were, I don't know, clear to kind of figure out. That doesn't necessarily bring happiness, does it? But I guess it would kind of clear your mind to figure out what it is you actually want in life.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think you've got a minimal life, or are you striving for a minimal life?
Well, it's something that I've learned to think about more and more. I mean, in theory, in my head, yes, I'm a frugal person. But if I look in my wardrobe, how many jeans I've got, how many shirts I've got, how many jumpers I've got, or how many bags I've got. And one of the things, if I'm honest, has always been a bit of a gadget person. I'm fascinated by invention. I'm fascinated by new things. I'm intrigued by it. But if I look at the cost of the environment, it's like the phone thing, is it? Like every year, do we need a new phone? Like computers, all the new iPads have just come out, all that kind of stuff. And the planned obsolescence, that idea that by changing the programs on the computer becomes obsolescent. So it will no longer run the new programs, and yet probably it's quite adequate as a tool, but it just can't run the information that it's given.
Yeah, well, it does feel it's like we're on this kind of runaway mine train of kind of progress of, like you say, with computing, what is it, every year or two? Processor speeds double or something great. We were talking in the office actually earlier on about our first PCs and how much storage they had. I think what Mike was saying, he had 500 megabytes on his, and then one of his mates had one with 2 gigabytes, which actually in the early 90s or whatever it was, mid 90s, is pretty amazing actually. Because
I can top jump those, because my first computer only ran on floppy disks on an A drive.
Okay.
And you had to put the program disk into the A drive to actually boot the thing up, and then the B drive was the thing that that you stored on. So it took an age. It was like a steam train. You had to kind of put a shovel of coal on it to get it going.
Good fun. Yeah, but in terms of like how our economy works and how our nation judges itself or countries judge themselves, it's based very much on kind of economic growth, isn't it? Endless.
Endless growth. And the value of any country, of any currency, is seen in what's the expected growth over the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And growth actually means, okay, that things are increasing in value, like houses, which is inflation. But it also means that to get growth, you have to use progressively more and more resources to create it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas would there be anything wrong with being at a steady state? Would it be anything with someone's wages being the same in 20 years as they are now if none of the prices had gone up? If we lived in that kind of steady state, would that be okay?
Well, the thing is, it's very tricky for a politician to come out and argue for like a reduction in or like a shrinking economy. Who's going to stand up and be brave enough to say that's what's we need? And who's going to vote for it? Because then along comes someone like Trump or some other guy who just disregards it completely and just says, "Yeah, don't ignore that guy. I'm going to promise you the world and endless economic growth." People say, "Yeah, cool, I'll go with that. Sounds legit." There's a really good book which I've mentioned a few times called The Great Disruption by Paul Gilding, which talks about all this stuff and how either we get on board and try and figure out a way to manage a reduction in economic growth, or it happens anyway, because every 20 years or every 80 years we get either a recession or a depression, don't we? And it's like these things are kind of built into the system. But do they have to be? I don't think so.
No. But one of the things in our frugality, it's easy for me to sit in my central house with all my facilities and talk about how we all need to be frugal. But it's something like, isn't it, if everybody in China who deserves a refrigerator had a refrigerator, the whole of the economic and the ecological systems on the planet would go into meltdown. Yep. And yet I expect a refrigerator.
I know.
It's hard.
It's very hard. It almost seems like a bit of an impossible task, doesn't it?
But the thing is that if we don't learn to be husbanding the resources of planets, then it will come back and bite us. You know, there won't be enough for people. There will, you know, famine, death, whatever. It's inevitable. The human race is growing at a phenomenal rate, and we do get to run out of resources. And if we don't learn to be better with them. I mean, I'm taken right back to childhood, where there was a bit of poverty when I was a kid. So my mother would go to what were called jumble sales. You saw jumble sales there?
Yeah.
And she would buy jumpers from the jumble sale, and then she would unpick them. And I'd have to stand with my hands up while she would roll the wool around my arm to make a skein of wool that she would then wash. And then she would knit new jumpers for us out of these old jumpers she'd taken apart. Which I guess you could see as like, oh my God. But if I think about that now, they used to be pretty designed and pretty crazy colour names. But looked a bit far out. But that was a really inventive thing to do. And things like the sheets. When I was a kid, the sheets would wear out in the middle. So my mother would cut them down the middle and put the two sides to the two edges to the middle and sew those up. So you then had a sheet that had this seam running down the middle that was really uncomfortable.
This is pre-floppy disk drive even.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about... I was looking in the cupboard when I was thinking about this. A pair of shoes that I reckon are over 25 years old. Proper leather shoes. But shoes that you can mend. So I've always taken them to the cobblers, and the cobbler mends them, and I put them on. And when the heel wears out, the sole wears out, I take them back to the cobblers, he doesn't need them. And the idea that you'd have a pair of shoes that would last for 20, 30 years is like, oh, my God. Because we're brought up in a world now where when you wear down the heels on your shoes, you throw them away, you don't mend them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of thing which is a lack of frugality to me when I look at what I'm actually doing and what the lessons are. They used to say, make, do, and mend. You know, and we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's not just shoes, isn't it? I mean, you know, people get it's easy to get trapped in these kind of cycles of of debt, isn't it? Like, because, you know, I know a lot of people have pretty flash cars and they're kind of stuck in this kind of cycle of paying for £300-400 a month. And every year or every 2 years you get a new car and it's another £400 a month. Because that's the kind of way we live, isn't it? Month to month on our, a lot of people. I haven't had a monthly salary for a while. But you get paid every month and all your direct debits come out and that's just the way it is, isn't it?
But if you look at that in any of the, like the NHS, say, of our local authorities, everybody each year either expects an increase in their salary, either on what they call the spine, like each year you get an increase in an increment, but also there's the cost of living increase. So that if the economy grows, then people's wages need to grow so they can still afford to live.
Yep.
But in growing, the economy has to earn more to account for the fact that the extra wages. So we're in this kind of crazy spiral that has to go forever upwards until it bursts.
Yep, and it will burst, or it did in 2008, didn't it? It was spread around the world in the financial meltdown. And I mean, there's always going to be profits of doom, but I think there's plenty of economists out there that say we're already heading for the next one because we haven't kind of fixed
it. And those things are bound to happen again, aren't they? It's inevitable.
Yeah. There's a really good article on this website, moneycanbuymehappiness.com, which I'm assuming has got plenty of other tips around how best to spend your hard-earned dosh.
Yeah.
But this one is about, best frugal living tips, which are well worth spending. And it starts with the article talking about how you should need to be intentional with your spending, which I guess comes back to the gift-giving thing at this time of year at Crimbo.
Yeah.
Are you buying something for the sake of it, just to kind of match? Have you got a £25-30 limit per person? Like, why would it be that limit? Why could you make something, or could it be more? Could it be less? Are you doing it just like out of habit and for the sake of it, or are you really being intentional?
Yeah, I don't know, the idea of putting a limit on what you're going to buy means you've got to be much more inventive and creative, one of the things in that, I'm smiling as I say this because I have members of different things, especially as being a kid, is that why do things that you get have to be new? An antique is second-hand object. Accept that as acceptable because it's an antique. But there must be lots of things that other people don't want. I did this thing the other day. I went to the tip to dump some stuff. And there were a couple of really nice enamelled containers. One was for soap powder and one for something else. They're both laundry things, quite big. And in the tip, they've got a donation table where you can put stuff that other people might like. So I put them on the table and carried my bag round to the non-recyclable tip bit. And by the time I'd walked back, which was probably about 2 minutes, they'd both gone.
Yoink.
And I thought, well, that's good, because they've been recycled to someone with a new home. I could have thrown them in the tip.
Yeah.
And that's quite good about the percentage of our tips now, is that there is that option to
there's a section of ours. Clatter Bridge here where stuff can be left that can be reused. And in fact, I knew it would come back to bikes at some point, but my little boy Will, he learned to ride on a balance bike that a friend of mine had spotted someone about to throw into the one of the big containers at the tip. And he said, hang on a minute, whoa. And he grabbed it, and there's nothing wrong with it. And that was kind of the catalyst for my little boy to ride a bike. I'm not sure if I can convince my wife, if I can head down to the tip to get the kids a Christmas presents this year.
I think you should. Sounds like a good idea.
Top tip for this week. Go on. Okay, so you want anything else you want to mention? Anything you've got on your list?
No, I'm okay. I'm just being frugal here and not... Because if I go out and infect other people, then they'll take time off work, then it'll cost more money. So I'm being frugal by staying here.
Very good. What's your resource? Travelblog.org, I see.
Yeah, it's a travel blog. It's a lady called Susie Lee. And she talks about how she travels around the world. spending virtually nothing. And it's really fascinating the different blogs that she does. But really, the way that she does it, she'll work a bit, she does a bit of this, a bit of that. But she's talking about how much money you can save if you get your head out of the five-star and start to go around and enjoy being where you're travelling.
You know? Yeah, it's cool. No, I used to read quite a bit about stuff like that, people that travel super light.
Yeah.
You know, with just a rucksack on the back and then get around the world with, you know, a couple of T-shirts
and lightweight
towels and all that stuff. So, mine's a website called frugal.org.uk, which is whack jam-packed full of tips on living frugally. So, check that out as well.
Yeah, that's cool. All right.
Well, hopefully you'll be back in the office next week, Sean, and we'll be face-to-face.
I will. I should be smiling. Do that.
Well, you sound like you're smiling already. You're over it. You're getting past it, eh?
Yeah, I'm just singing the blues now.
Good lad. All right. Well, livingthepresent.co.uk. Check it out for all the show notes and links. And Sean, we'll see you next week.
Okay. You take care. See ya.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.